The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is about five cats. And they all live together in a house. And it's called Curious Cats and the Birthday Party. Snickerdoodle, the black kitty, had never had a birthday party before. Marshmallow and Taffy wanted to make his day extra special and decided to surprise him. Most of the morning, Ned kept the Snickerdoodle busy while Marshmallow and Taffy set up. Less than 10 minutes ago, Snickerdoodle had gone outside to chase the birds. Taffy and Marshmallow smoothed out the tablecloth. Marshmallow laid out the banner. It said, "Happy Birthday." Gus came in from the kitty door. Licorice walked behind him, carrying a present in her mouth. It must be a mouse or something. Oh, it's a present. Yes. Looks like a present, a real present in a little baggie. "He's coming," Marshmallow said as she looked out the window in the back door. Marshmallow's brain went zap. Her whole body went zing. Hiding time. Marshmallow loved surprising the others. Taffy hid inside the open section of the end table. Licorice and Gus jumped inside a box. Snickerdoodle walked into the house. "Where is everyone?" "Surprise!" Marshmallow, Taffy, Licorice, and Gus all meowed. "Snickerdoodle, you're the birthday boy, so you get a crown." And she placed the golden object on his head. "Everyone else, grab a hat." So they all had party hats, and Snickerdoodle, the birthday cat, got a golden crown. "I can't believe you did all this for me," Snickerdoodle said. "You guys are the nicest friends." "You're worth it," Marshmallow said sweetly, and the others agreed. The song Stray Cat Strut played. "Game time," Taffy shouted. Marshmallow and Taffy held the stick. The other cats lined up for limbo. That's going flat on your stomach and trying to get up under a stick and not letting that stick touch your body. And the cats on each end will make it lower and lower until the last person that does not get touched by that stick is the winner, and Gus won. "Who's up for pin the tail on the dog?" Taffy asked. "I'm first," Snickerdoodle shouted. Ned fixed the blindfold. Taffy spun him around. Then Gus, Taffy, and Marshmallow all took their turns. Licorice went last. Taffy spun her around. She pawed the tail near the dog's feet. Marshmallow came the closest. Taffy handed her a cat treat. Marshmallow's brain went zap. Her body went zing. Happy time. Snickerdoodle needs to blow out the candles on the cake. Taffy jumped on the counter. Did somebody mention a cake? Ned walked into the kitchen and lit the candle. Snickerdoodle blew it out. Ned cut several slices and served plates to the cat. Wonder what kind of cake it is for cats. "Tuna's my favorite." Snickerdoodle gobbled his food. Oh, it was made out of tuna. "This tuna cake is delicious," Licorice said. Her brother nodded. Marshmallow took a dainty bite. Her brain went zap. Her body went zing. "Perfect choice, Taffy," she purred. "Look at all these balloons," Snickerdoodle laughed. Marshmallow's brain went zap, and her body went zing. Balloon time! She plunged towards a yellow balloon. Licorice popped an orange balloon and startled everyone. "Sorry," she squeaked. To calm his nerves, Gus clawed at the ice cream cone's cat scratcher. Oh, it's a cat scratcher that looks like a tall ice cream cone. Just for the cats. "Can I open presents?" Snickerdoodle asked. "Great idea," Gus said. And Marshmallow's brain went zap. Her whole body went zing. Present time. Open the red bag. It's from Taffy and me. It's a birthday t-shirt. Snickerdoodle put it on and posed. I love it. The t-shirt has a little picture of a cake on the back, and it says, Birthday Boy. We hope you like what we got you, Gus said. He and Licorice gave Snickerdoodle a catnip pig, along with a bag of cat treats and a pair of gold glasses. This was the best birthday party ever, Snickerdoodle smiled. There he's wearing his golden pretend glasses and his new t-shirt, and he has a catnip mouse to play with. Marshmallow's brain went zap. Her whole body went zing. Friendship hug. And it was truly a wonderful day for all the curious cats. And there they are, with the birthday hats on their head, all snuggling together around the fireplace. And that's the end of the Curious Cats and the Birthday Party. The next story we're going to read is The Lion King, and this has been adapted for a book by Jennifer Sieberts. It was a proud day for King Mufasa and Queen Sarabi. Their newborn cub, Simba, had joined the great circle of life. One day Simba would take his father's place and become Lion King. Today, the little cub was being presented to the entire animal kingdom. A wise old baboon named Rafiki marked the lion cub's forehead with red dust. Then he held Simba up high in the air for all the animals to see. Mufasa's brother, Scar, did not attend the celebration. He was angry that Simba was next in line to rule the kingdom. Scar had always wanted to be king. Mufasa, disappointed in his younger brother, visited Scar's cave. "Don't you turn your back on me, Scar," Mufasa growled. Over time, Simba grew into a strong young cub. One morning, Mufasa took Simba to the top of Pride Rock. "Everything the light touches is our kingdom," Mufasa explained. Simba was curious about the dark spot of land in the distance. Mufasa warned Simba to never, never go to the shadowy place beyond their borders. It was too dangerous. Later that day, Simba saw Scar on a rocky ledge. "Uncle Scar," called Simba proudly, "someday I'm going to rule the whole kingdom." "Well, everything except for that shadowy place." "Right," said Scar. "Only the bravest lions go there. An elephant graveyard is no place for a young prince." Scar had set a dangerous trap for the young lion. He knew that Simba would want to prove that he was brave. Sure enough, Simba ran off to ask his best friend, Nala, to go exploring with him. Nala was another little lion, I guess a little girl lion. Simba and Nala wandered into the Shadowlands. Suddenly, they found themselves in the elephant graveyard, surrounded by three hyenas. Zazu, the king's helper, that was a bird, some type of bird, heard the hyena's evil laughter and flew down to protect Simba and Nala. Zazu stood between the hyenas and the cubs, but he was no match for the hungry hyenas. Simba and Nala were in trouble. Just as the hyenas were about to attack, Mufasa leaped in front of Simba, Nala, and Zazu. He had the hyenas cornered. Before the hyenas could escape, Mufasa held them down with his powerful front paws. "Don't ever come near my son again," he roared with a deep growl. The hyenas ran away. Mufasa was angry that Simba had disobeyed him. Simba was sad that he had disappointed his father. Mufasa led the cubs back to the Pride Lands. No one noticed Scar watching from the shadows, evil old Scar. That night, Mufasa took Simba out to play in the grass. Mufasa knew Simba hadn't planned to put himself or Nala in danger, but he wanted to make sure that he stayed safe. Being brave does not mean you go looking for trouble, he reminded his son. Mufasa and Simba gazed at the stars. The great kings of the past looked down on us from those stars, said Mufasa. Whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you, and so will I. Meanwhile, Scar visited the hyenas at the elephant graveyard. He was angry that they'd let Simba go. He came up with a new wicked plan. This time, Simba and Mufasa would not get away. The next day, Scar lured Simba into a deep gorge and told him to wait on a rock. Your father has a marvelous surprise for you, Scar lied before he crept away. When Simba was alone, Scar set his plan in motion. He told the hyenas to scare a herd of wild beasts. The frightened wild beasts stamped and headed right for Simba. Scar ran to Mufasa and Zazu to tell them the cub was in danger. He led them to the gorge where they saw Simba hanging from the branch. Hold on, Simba, Mufasa cried. Before Simba could fall beneath the pounding hooves of the wild beasts, Mufasa grabbed him. But as he carried his son away, a wild beast knocked Mufasa to the ground. Mufasa struggled to climb to safety, but his body was tired from running through the stampede. Scar saw him hanging from the edge of a cliff. Brother, help me, please, pleaded Mufasa. Scar dug his claws into Mufasa's paws and pulled him close. Long live the king, whispered Scar before he let Mufasa fall. At last all the wild beasts left the gorge. The dust settled. Simba could see his father lying still on the ground. He ran to his side. Dad! Dad, come on! Simba cried as he tried to wake Mufasa. Get up! Simba prodded the king with his paws. Over and over, he called his father's name and pulled at his ears, but Mufasa did not move. Simba curled up beside Mufasa and cried. He stayed there until he heard a voice calling him. Simba, Scar said coldly, if it weren't for you, the king would still be alive. Run away, Simba, and never return. Simba ran and ran. Scar ordered the hyenas to get rid of Simba. They chased the cub all the way to the edge of a plateau. But when Simba leaped into a thorny patch of bushes below, the hyenas were too cowardly to follow. He's as good as dead anyway, they said, as Simba escaped. There those three mean-looking hyenas are standing at the top of the cliff, watching as Simba falls into a big thorny bush. Simba walked for miles under the hot sun until he collapsed. Luckily, Timon the meerkat and Pumbaa the warthog found him and carried him to a waterhole. Simba told them that he could not go back to Pride Rock. Timon and Pumbaa took him to their home and even showed him how to eat bugs. This is a great life, said Timon. No rules, no responsibilities, and no worries. Hakuna Matata. With the help of his new friends, Simba learned to live life with no worries. He grew into a strong young lion. But one night, as they gazed up at the stars, Simba remembered his father's words. Someone once told me that the great kings of the past are up there watching over us, he told Timon and Pumbaa sadly. The next day, a lioness chased Pumbaa through the jungle. Simba pounced and the two lions fought until the lioness pinned Simba to the ground. Simba looked into her eyes and recognized Nala, he said. It's me, Simba. Simba, Nala cried. Everyone thought you were dead, but you're alive. And that means you're the king. Nala told Simba that cruel King Scar had ruined the pride lions. lands, the animals were starving, and the hyenas were everywhere. Simba could claim the throne, but he was afraid to go back. That night, the wise old baboon, Rafiki, came to see Simba. He led Simba to a small pool, where at first Simba saw only his own reflection. But then he saw his father's face in the water. "You see," Rafiki said, "you are Mufasa's boy. He lives in you." At that very moment, Mufasa's image appeared in the clouds. "You must take your place in the great circle of life," Mufasa said. "Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king." Simba now knew that he must go home. Simba and his friends returned to the Pride Lands the following day. Simba was horrified to see that Scar had let the land go to ruin. No trees grew. Bones were scattered everywhere. His uncle had not respected the circle of life. Oh, it's awful. Looks, there's nothing growing there. It's just dark and gloomy on this land, and lots of animal bones all over, and the trees are all dead, no leaves or fruit on them. Meanwhile, Queen Sarabi had gone to speak with Scar. She told him that all the animals must leave Pride Rock, and there was no food left. But Scar refused to listen. Suddenly, Scar heard a deep roar. He turned and saw a huge lion. Scar was scared. "Mufasa," he said fearfully, "but you're dead." "Mufasa," Sarabi said, confused. And then she recognized the lion as her son. "Simba!" Simba commanded Scar to step down or fight. "I've come back to take my place as king," Simba declared. Scar was not willing to let his nephew take the throne. "It's your fault Mufasa's dead," Scar said, as he backed Simba towards the edge of Pride Rock. Scar lunged at Simba and forced him off the cliff's end. As Simba struggled to hold on, Scar leaned over him. Lightning hit the ground, and a fire began to burn around them. "Now this looks familiar," Scar said with an evil smile. "This is the way your father looked just before I killed him." Simba was immediately filled with rage. With all his strength, he leaped at Scar, and they battled as the fire grew around them. Scar fought hard to protect his place as king, but he could not defeat Simba. Simba chased Scar off the cliff. As Scar fell, Simba repeated what Scar had told him all those years before. "Run away. Run away and never return." Simba climbed to the top of Pride Rock. Rain fell from the sky, and he let it wash over him. He remembered his father and all he had learned from him. Simba held his head high and let out a powerful roar. At last, he was the Lion King. Under Simba's rule, the Pride Lands once again to be a place where the herds came to graze and the trees grew strong and tall. And soon, King Simba and Queen Nala had their own newborn cub for the kingdom to celebrate and welcome into the circle of life. And that's the end of the story of the Lion King. This story is about Peppa Pig and her family, and it's called "Let's Go Shopping, Peppa Pig." One morning, Peppa and her family took a trip to the supermarket. Peppa and George jumped out of the car in excitement. They loved visiting the supermarket. "First, we need a cart," said Papa. Daddy Pig put George in the cart. "Snort, snort," said George happily. "Can I sit in the cart too?" asked Peppa. "Ho, ho," Daddy Pig laughed. "You're too big, Peppa, but you can help with the shopping." "Oh, goody," said Peppa, skipping into the supermarket. There was so much to see inside. "Can we get one of everything?" asked Peppa. "No, Peppa, that would be far too much," replied Mummy Pig. "But how do we know what to get?" asked Peppa. "We use a shopping list," Mummy Pig said, showing Peppa a piece of paper. "We have 4 things on our list today." Peppa and Mummy Pig read the list together. The first item on the list was 4 tomatoes. I can see the tomatoes, shouted Peppa. Peppa counted 4 tomatoes as Mummy Pig put them into a bag. 1, 2, 3, 4. She skipped off to put them in the cart. Daddy Pig crossed tomatoes off the list. What's next? Asked Mummy Pig. Spaghetti, shouted Peppa. Pischetti, shouted George. Spaghetti was Peppa and George's very favorite meal. Peppa found the spaghetti and put it in the cart. Well done, Peppa, said Mummy Pig. Peppa helped find the onions that were on the list, too. The very last item on the list was fruit. I'll get it, said Peppa. It's George's turn now, said Mummy Pig. How about bananas, suggested Peppa, or apples, or pears, or oranges? George shook his head. He didn't want any of those. He wanted a very big watermelon. Snort! George was very happy with his choice, even though it was bigger than him. Daddy Pig gave George the watermelon, and it was very, very heavy. George dropped the watermelon in the cart. Rattle, rattle. It was so big the whole cart shook. Hee, hee, hee. Everyone laughed. Well done, George, said Mummy Pig. Daddy Pig crossed fruit off the shopping list. That's everything, said Mummy Pig. Let's head to the checkout and pay. At the checkout, Peppa and Daddy Pig put the food on the conveyor belt. Miss Rabbit scanned each item. Tomatoes, beep. Onions, beep. Watermelon, beep. Spaghetti, beep. Chocolate cake, beep. Chocolate cake, asked Mummy Pig. That wasn't on the list. Said Daddy Pig, holding up the chocolate cake with a guilty look on his face. I thought it might be nice for dessert. Daddy Pig, said Mummy Pig. Sorry, said Daddy Pig, turning red. It just looks so delicious. Snort. It does look yummy, said Mummy Pig. Let's pretend it was on our list. Hooray, everyone cheered. And that is the end of the Pig's family shopping trip. When Peppa and her family arrived home, it was time for dinner. They had delicious spaghetti, followed by a huge piece of watermelon and a great big slice of chocolate cake. Peppa, George, and Mummy Pig and Daddy Pig loved going shopping for food, but they loved eating it most of all. The end. Now, this is a story you might already know. It's called The Little Mermaid. Out at sea, there lived a good mer-king with his 6 daughters in a palace made of coral and shells. Happy in their underwater kingdom, the princesses played among the flowers on the seafloor. Only the youngest wondered what it would be like to walk on land. One day, after a shipwreck, the Little Mermaid rescued the only survivor of that shipwreck, a handsome prince. The Little Mermaid pulled the prince to shore, but there she had to leave him. She could not go on land herself. Instead, she kept to the waves a short distance away. The next morning, a lovely girl came across the prince, asleep on the beach. When he awoke, he thought that this girl had saved him. He remembered nothing of the Little Mermaid. But the Little Mermaid could not forget the prince. She returned to the edge of the shore every day, hoping to see him. She wanted to be with him, but she knew that a prince would never love a princess with a fish's tail. So the little mermaid went to visit the old witch of the sea. "My help comes with a high price," said the witch, giving the Little Mermaid a small bottle. "If you drink this potion, you will become human, but you will lose your voice. And if the prince does not marry you, he will turn to sea foam and disappear forever." Unafraid, the Little Mermaid drank the potion and fainted dead away. When she awoke in human form, she saw the prince, but she could not speak. Seeing that she needed help, the prince took her to his castle. From that day on, the little mermaid was happy just to be near him. But the prince decided to marry the girl he believed had rescued him from the sea. The little mermaid could not speak to tell him the truth. When she saw how happy he was, she did not want to. On the night of the wedding, the little mermaid walked along the shore, staring out to sea. Through her tears, she saw her sisters rise up through the waves. "We have come from the old witch of the sea," one said. "If you kill the prince before sunrise, you may return to the world under the waves." And they handed her a magic dagger. Of course, the little mermaid could not harm the prince. She threw away the dagger and jumped into the sea. She expected to turn to foam, but she felt herself rising into the air, surrounded by friendly spirits. "You have done many kind things for others," the spirit said. "Come stay with us and be happy forever." At once the little mermaid was happy. She had dreamed of walking, but now she could fly. Now that's a different ending to the Little Mermaid story that I know. But that's very interesting, isn't it? It's a nice way to end. Now, we have about 1.5 minutes left, so we're going to read a few more of those nursery rhymes. This one is called "Boys and Girls Come Out to Play." Boys and girls come out to play. The moon doth shine as bright as day. Leave your supper and leave your sleep, and join your playfellows in the sleep. Come with a hoop and come with a call, come with a goodwill or not at all. Come up the ladder and down, up the ladder and down the wall. A halfpenny loaf will serve us all. You'll find milk and I'll find flour, and we'll have a pudding in half an hour. That was a nice one. Now, how about this one? Let's see. This one is fun. "Diddle, diddle, dumpling, my son John went to bed with his stockings on. One shoe off and one shoe on. Diddle, diddle, dumpling, my son John." And here we go, little Nancy Etticoat with a white petticoat and a red nose. She has no feet or hands. The longer she stands and the shorter she grows. That actually is not just a nursery rhyme. That's a riddle. Little Nancy Etticoat with a white petticoat and a red nose. She has no feet or hands. She's a candle. And there's a picture here of a candle in a candle holder. Well, we run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. I hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I am Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information at NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.